Fab Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
A big show here on a Friday in the Valley of the Sun, getting you set for another monster football weekend. Mark McClune in for Brad Sesmat, who is off. By the way, Southern California, the Sun Devils go over and travel to UCLA this week. So a lot to talk about here coming up through the weekend. The Sun Devils, of course, at UCLA. The Cardinals host the Rams on Sunday. And a monster Friday night of high school football here in the Valley. So always a lot to talk about as we get set to head into a monster football weekend. Eric Sorensen is behind the glass here to talk Cardinals, Sun Devils, and I think TCU Horned Frogs today, Eric.
What are you burning about? No, there will be none of that, Mark. Nobody wants to hear about our fledgling football programs.
We're going to have a bet. Of course, my alma mater goes head-to-head with his alma mater this Saturday.
I still owe you that dinner at TP.
You do.
Should we double
or nothing?
You want to?
All right.
Let's bet
on the Sun Devil game and the Cardinal game this weekend, too. We'll go quadruple or nothing. Does that work?
I have no idea what the final bet on that.
All right. Well, Cardinals kick off 1:25 on Sunday afternoon in Glendale. And, of course, they're the talk of the NFL right now. They have scored more points than anybody in the NFL. Carson Palmer is passing Hall of Famers. Larry Fitzgerald, his numbers are better than they've ever been in his storied career. He has more touchdown catches, more yards, and more receptions through three games than he has ever had in his entire career. But a couple of words of caution here before we get too excited, because we were here just three short years ago. The Cardinals were 4-0, Ken Wisenhunt's last year, and then it fell off a cliff, to put it bluntly. The Cardinals, right now, they host the St. Louis Rams, and the one daunting thing, the one thing that we're looking at here is they've lost their starting quarterback the last two times they've played the Rams. So Bruce Arians, it sounds like this week is personal. And Eric, behind the glass there, your feeling about the St. Louis Rams. They're the team you kind of love to hate, don't you?
The Rams always seem to play well in the division. That is the one theme about this team. They aren't always the most talented. They've spent a lot of high draft picks on offensive skill players that haven't necessarily panned out. I mean, their best wide receiver is Kenny Britt. And their quarterback is Nick Foles, who's been okay. I mean, clearly it looks like getting rid of Sam Bradford was the right decision. But the Rams' defense, especially up front, if they can get in the backfield and pressure Palmer, it could. I don't think the Cardinals are going to lose. But it's certainly, I can't see another 37-7 start like we saw last week, just because the Rams defense is pretty stingy.
Yeah, and the Cardinal offense, I mean, with the additions of Gresham and Darren Fells, and now Chris Johnson rushing for 100 yards, and Harold Goodwin put it yesterday, the offensive coordinator for the Cardinals in his news conference, you really have to pick your poison. But if you look last year, Drew Stanton went out of the game in St. Louis, a game that the Cardinals won, but that forced the Cardinals have to go to Ryan Lindley down the stretch. And then the home game against the Rams in November, that's where Carson Palmer blew out his knee, and it was a non-contact play. But he was getting punished. So I would imagine the mantra from Bruce Arians is going to be get rid of the ball quick, get it to your playmakers. There certainly are a lot. But Robert Quinn and company, they're nasty, and that's kind of Jeff Fisher's mantra to kind of muck things up. And, you know, if there's a pile up, you're probably going to get a finger in an eye or a shot to the ribs.
And we saw it a lot in the preseason, especially with Palmer when he initially came back this year. A lot of just quick reads. Get the snap, get the ball out of your hands, get it out in the flat, let the playmakers make plays. And I have a feeling with the way the Rams can get in the backfield, that will probably be the game plan until they can open it up, because you know Arians is going to take some shots downfield.
Well, and it really helps that Chris Johnson rushed for 100 yards last week. Do you realize if he rushes for 100 yards again this week, he would be the first Arizona Cardinal to do so since Edgerrin James
Who?
In 2006.
Oh, I remember him.
Another 30-year-old running
Correct.
Back.
Correct.
30-year-old running backs are at the top of the list when it comes to rushing
statistics. Well, some of those work out, and then some end up like Emmitt Smith.
But you got Matt Forte, you got Adrian Peterson, you got Marshawn Lynch, so 30, and Chris Johnson said this in the Cardinal locker room yesterday, 30 appears to be the new 25. And I don't know how long he can continue to do this. Andre Ellington walked through the locker room yesterday. Reporters accosted him, and he said, "You know, I really got to go eat, so I'm not going to talk." So it seems like he had his football equipment on, so it looks like if he's been limited this week, maybe he's good to touch it 5-10 times and try to take some home run shots.
And one thing we learned last year, Mark, I mean, the Cardinals were the second to last team in the NFL in rushing. Only the Raiders were worse, And the Cardinals still managed to win double-digit games. Yeah. So they don't need to be in the top 10. They really honestly don't even need to be in the top 15. If they could just get somewhere in the top 20 to balance it out a little bit, the way Carson Palmer's playing, could be a special season.
And that's a great point. And I don't think Chris Johnson needs to be the guy this week. I mean, he is running on 30-year-old legs, and you don't want to tire him out. One thing Bruce Arians said this week is what he learned from the Bear Bryant is you want to have fresh legs in the fourth quarter. So maybe you start off with David Johnson, see what he's got after riding Chris Johnson last week and bringing Andre Ellington in the fourth quarter and he runs past people. They have a lot of good options, and I mean, honestly, they haven't had that around here in a long time. We've seen guys kind of get going and get injured, and then with all the weapons that Carson Palmer has, it's like Harold Goodwin said yesterday, it's pick your poison.
What do you think? I'm gonna interrupt you here, Mark, because sure. That's what I do as a producer. I interrupt things
that's just
throw fun. Things off track. what do you feel? I know it's only been 3 weeks, but what do you make of the NFC West right now?
I make that San Francisco is spiraling downward.
Check.
And just Jimmy T and company. That looks like it's headed. That looks like it's headed for the old when the Cowboys got rid of Jimmy Johnson and Dave Campo ended up being the coach. And there's still glimmers of it, but you know,
somewhere in the Midwest around, I don't know, Ann Arbor, Michigan, there's a guy that's probably sitting in his office right now smiling a little bit, seeing what's going on in San Francisco.
Yeah, I think he's got the Wolverines playing well. And I think when you look at what Utah did at Oregon last week, you think,
sure,
man, Michigan's probably better than we thought.
And the first game of the season, honestly, in college football, for me personally, it's almost like a throwaway. You're going to get teams that look much better than they turn out to be. You're also going to get teams that look far worse than they're going to turn out to be, because there is no preseason college football, and the first couple weeks can be kind of muddy. And now this weekend's huge, huge weekend of games, so we see how all that plays out.
Well, you want to talk about the Horned Frogs and the Longhorns again? Is that what we're doing?
You keep going back to that. Nobody. I mean, it's going to be 62-61 tomorrow in Fort Worth. That's just the way it is.
I think it's just 7-on-7. There's going to be no defense. Be. Tackling's not allowed. And yeah, first one to 60 wins the game.
I'll take you up on that bet, though. If I can get out of debt, I'll take it.
So. All right. Is that sponsored by the TP, by the way?
Probably.
Okay, we need to get on that. But
free plug.
Well, speaking of scoring points, I mean, the Cardinals, what they averaged the 47 points and the way they put it on the Niners last week, and defensively, every defensive back now has an interception for the Arizona Cardinals. But I think as nice as it is to see Justin Bethel and Tyrann Mathieu get in the end zone and Rashad Johnson's playing well and Patrick Peterson, he wants to make a statement, and I think he's been pressing since he signed that contract 2 years ago, but still one of the best cover corners in the league. But it really starts up front. Frosty Rucker inside the Cardinal locker room yesterday. The media approached him. It's kind of one of those things like, you guys want to talk to me? And we said, well, yeah. I mean, you blew things up in the end zone last week and helped the team get a safety. So he put on his USC hat, a very proud USC alum. And Rucker said, well, some of the comments is that he looks like he's 22 again. And I would agree. Frosty Rucker is another guy that just kind of came in here unheralded. He's a name you knew from the USC team that played Texas in the Rose Bowl and kind of bounced around the NFL. But he has found the fountain of youth out here in the desert. Chris Johnson's the same way. What's the deal with older guys coming out here and loving it? Eric, your thoughts?
I mean, I don't know.
As an older guy.
Maybe it's... Thanks. Yeah, I am older. I admit that. Not that old, though. Yeah. How old are you, Mark?
I think I turned 30. I quit counting once I had kids.
I think I turned...
Yeah.
How old are you?
37.
Okay, yeah. I'm 4 years older than you, so yeah. I'm not that much older. You sound like I'm in my 80s.
Well,
that's Brad.
For
Seth
NFL
Matt's in his
players.
80s.
Well,
he just looks like he's in his 80s. So.
Well, as we talk about the oldest guy, I think, you know, it's a good topic of discussion here. Carson Palmer, born in 1979, he's one of the oldest players in the NFL.
That's crazy.
And there are not many guys that were born in the 70s still playing in the NFL. I mean, that's tough to swallow if you're you or me, thinking we could probably, you know, if we just got the right opportunity, we might be able to
that's
go
it.
Out there.
You know what's almost unfathomable to me that I keep going back to and I put on Twitter during the Cardinal game last week? The Cardinals got Carson Palmer for a 7th-round draft pick.
A starting Think about quarterback that. In the NFL.
Not just
and
a
they
starting
got
quarterback.
Jared Belldier for free.
A 7th-round draft pick.
That doesn't happen.
Not a 4th, not a 3rd, not a fifth, a seventh. Teams view seventh round draft picks like the 4 day old donut at the grocery store. It's edible. It's there, but nobody wants it. No, yeah. Unless it's like the last resort. I mean, seventh rounders, occasionally they make an impact, but very rarely is a seventh rounder going to not only make a roster, but make a big splash in the NFL. And to think the Cardinals got him for a seventh round draft pick, crazy.
Every team in the NFL right now is looking for a starting quarterback and a left tackle. Even if you have one, you got to know where your starting quarterback and left tackle of the future is. And theirs just fell in their lap.
And Palmer went all crazy this offseason, like didn't eat carbs for 92 consecutive days or something and worked out four times a day. And, I mean, he wants to prove, and he's proving, that I can beat this, I can come back from this injury, and I can be the same quarterback I was and even better. And right now he is.
And it's not like he has to run.
No.
I mean, he's
they
got,
don't
he's
want
got
him.
One
we,
of the,
no, don't
would,
don't run.
I would put him up there as having one of the best arms in the league.
Don't run. If
maybe
you get
Big
sacked,
ben,
get
maybe
sacked.
Joe Flacco.
Nobody
sure.
wants Carson Palmer on the edge running. No, don't do it. Just and, take the sack.
And last year in the opening week when he got hit by Eric Weddle for San Diego and the nerve didn't wake up for a couple weeks. Now that ended up being a good thing because we found out that Drew Stanton's a pretty good quarterback and can win games for you. But yeah. We don't need Carson Palmer getting hit, and that's why this game sort of scares me, because the Rams will hit him, and I think Palmer's kind of one of those guys who's like, come on, hit me. I'm going to get up. You can hit me as many times as you want. I mean, he was bleeding. Remember, his nose was bleeding last year in the Rams game. So something to watch. I just get concerned every time he gets hit because if things are going so well, but it is a fun time here in the Valley of the Sun. The Cardinals are 3-0 right now in the talk of the NFL. Much different story in Tempe. The Sun Devils go on the road this week and try to sort things out and get things right. We'll hear from former Sun Devil quarterback Jake the Snake Plummer when we come back here on the Brad Sesmatt Show.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Sports360AZ, the Brad Sesmatt Show on a Friday. The big guy out. I think he's out in the field right now getting fired up for the football weekend. Got a big Friday night of football here in the Valley. The Sun Devils, UCLA on Saturday, and the Cardinals and Rams on Sunday. We talked about the Cardinals last segment, so now let's dive into the Sun Devils. Can they pull the upset? Can they get things back on track after a disaster last Saturday at home against the Southern California Trojans? Well, Brad had a chance to talk with Jake the Snake Plummer, the Sun Devil legend, the former quarterback for ASU yesterday. And here are the Snake's takes on what ASU has to do to get back on track.
Chip, and that's all you hear out of there. Sometimes that's tough when things don't go that way. You'll get the players' mindset that they are that level of a team. And sometimes talking about it is one thing, but you got to go out there and do it. You got to play up to that level. You got to play at a championship level. And so far, we haven't seen that. You know, we've seen them struggle a little bit and, not dictate on the offense, the tempo, going in and trying to slow things down for whatever reason. That's what their game plan was, and it just didn't work for them. And also defensively, you've got to take angles that are keeping guys in contain, and you got to tackle. And if you can't do either one of those, then, you can't talk about it being the best team you've ever coached or a championship-level team, because those are simple things that could be fixed. People are aggravated, well, fine, be aggravated. Drive around in that hot, sweaty valley down there with sweat all over yourselves and being mad at ASU. It's not going to do any good. The ASU football players, they won't say it, but I'll say it for them. They don't care. They want to get their stuff figured out. They want to figure out what they need to do better. Fans, hey, they're the people that sit there in the stands and either cheer or boo for you. So I'll say it for them. Don't worry about the fans. They can be mad and aggravated and upset by all these speculations of how great the team's going to be. They know what they're made of. They know who they are. They need to get back to basics, and I think they're going to be just fine. I mean, you go down and play UCLA, and a very tough team that's looking really good. Hey, if they go get blown out after in UCLA, then, okay, fans have a right. But if they go down there and win, those fans that are aggravated, how quickly their moods will change.
The old Fairweather fans comment. There's Jake the Snake Plumber joining Brad Sesmet yesterday on Sports 360 AZ. And he makes some good points, and I think those were echoed this week by Kalen Ballage, running back for the Sun Devils, who missed the first 3 weeks with mono, returns and plays against SC. It doesn't go well. And then he took to Facebook on Saturday night after the game and called out not only Fairweather fans, but also Fairweather Sun Devil players. He said either you're in or you're out, and he appeared to be all in. He had that kind of look in his eye this week that said, give me the ball. I just lost 20 pounds. I returned to play college football. Give me the ball. Get out of my way. And Eric, DJ Foster, I mean, he can't be targeted 7 times this week in the Rose Bowl.
No, and he's been, for the most part, a non-factor. I mean, we saw it in the first week against Texas A&M. They tried initially to get him the ball, but I want to say he only had 7 or 8 touches in that one. And he's proven he's a big-time playmaker, and he could make Mike Norvell's life a lot better if Norvell would figure out a way to get him the ball more, because ASU right now needs guys that can stretch the field and break a game wide open. There is no more Jalen Strong. There is no more Cam Smith, two of their best receivers. So I don't know what they're waiting for. I mean, this is DJ's last year, so sure. Figure out a way to get the rock in his hands.
Well, and Gump Hayes this week, he actually spoke on Tuesday at practice and said he'd been working at defense a little bit. So I wonder if he's just almost out of the mix altogether. They
could
tried
be.
To force feed him.
He could be. I mean, he wasn't effective as a running back, and he botched that kickoff at the end of the half against USC, which led to a touchdown, which pretty much salted the game away. So everyone's trying to figure out their roles. I mean, it's one of those things, Mark. You're 2-2. You've played 2 good teams and lost pretty handily. You've played 2 bad teams and won, but certainly not the way everyone thought those games would go. So tomorrow is the ultimate measuring stick. I mean, this is their first true. I know they played in Houston. It was pretty much a home game for A&M, but going to the Rose Bowl, playing a top 10 team, we'll know a lot more on Sunday about how this thing's going to play out.
And we saw U of A last week got blown out by UCLA. They lost their starting quarterback, Anu Solomon, to a concussion, and Scooby Wright out with a sprained foot, and he didn't look right in it. I mean, he returned and was in football shape and couldn't make any tackles, and everything sort of went wrong for U of A. But I think there's, when you look at the stats after the game, they rushed for 350 yards. U of A did. So I think there's you can run the football on the Bruins.
Well, they're going to have to. I mean, Jerod Randall is definitely more of a runner than he is a passer. So if he's the guy tomorrow, then you are going to have a steady dose of Nick Wilson and getting those running backs. And, yeah, they're going to run the ball as much as they can. Thing to do, keep Josh Rosen off the field.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. Keep Kevin Hogan off the field.
Right.
So.
Right. And as far as UCLA and the Sun Devils go, I think you can.
Same deal. Right.
You can run the ball. Give it to DJ. I think the theme of the season so far has been they tried to force feed Gump Hayes. They tried to make him the guy. They almost tried to give him all the carries, all the spot that DJ occupied, with the hope that maybe that would open up DJ as receiver, and it hasn't worked. So I do wonder if you go back and you just put DJ back in the backfield. Maybe that opens up Kalen Ballage.
Yep. DJ's not an every down back, but you have DeMario Richard who can ground and pound a little bit. Just get the ball to DJ Foster in space. However you do it, just get him the ball.
And you know what you can't do? And Bruce Arians has got to be, if he's watching ASU this year, he's got to be watching what they're doing and seeing Mike Bercovici sprint to his right and throw a jump pass. I mean, the guy has a big league arm. And I know it's not your offense, but I just can't understand why you're not showcasing that arm more. It looks like he's trying to be very perfect, and everybody's trying not to screw things up. They need to go out there and have fun. And I kind of wish this week Burko wouldn't have said this is a must-win for us.
Yeah.
I wish he would have just said, I get to play college football. I might go out the night before the game. You know,
be loosey-goosey like he was last year when he didn't know if he was going to play because Taylor Kelly was in front of him. Now he's the guy. But two things about Burko, they're pretty evident, Mark. Bad footwork, poor accuracy. That's a bad combination for a quarterback. You say like the jump passes and all that.
Yeah.
He had some guys open last week against USC, overthrew him, underthrew him, threw the ball out of bounds.
I just wonder if that's a function of the offense.
It could be.
Because he's not he's supposed to move his feet.
And it shows you, honestly, how well Taylor Kelly fit in Norvell's offense.
Sure.
I mean, he was definitely a better fit than Burko, at least to this point.
So, I mean, as much as I like Burko and as much as I think they could have made a run at the Final Four last year if he would have been the quarterback, I thought he should have stayed the quarterback. man, I just wonder late in the season if this goes south, if you start seeing Brady White, if you start seeing Manny Wilkins, and then I think...
Sure,
I think you have to.
I mean, if ASU's got five losses, yeah. I know Graham loves playing the senior quarterback, and there's a loyalty thing there, but if you're sitting at, you know, say they lose tomorrow, they're 2-3, they beat Colorado, they're 3-3, then they go on the road.
Utah and Oregon.
Oregon at home. I mean, even going up to Pullman right now, you can't put the checkbox in the automatic win column for that.
You got to know what you have next year for sure.
That's it.
And my own personal opinion, just watching practice and camp T and all that stuff, I think Bryce Perkins, I think he's a cut above. I think he's got something special there. And I know he's going to redshirt this year, which is probably very smart, but I want to see him. Because I think put him in this offense and you've got something special.
It'll be pretty interesting because it's probably going to be between he and Brady White. I think Manny Wilkins is never going to be the designated starter, which is a shame.
He could. He seems like he can throw the ball okay and move around, but yeah.
But those two guys that we talked about, Brady White was a huge recruit, and we all saw Bryce when he was at Chandler. I mean, we know what he can do, and he's definitely big arm and mobile and both really good players.
Oh, certainly. And up at Stanford, like we talked about this week with the Wildcats trying to get things back, not knowing if Andrew Solomon's going to play. Their defense is porous to begin with, and with Scooby Wright not being able to play and tackle people, things just kind of went south big time for Arizona college football. But, hey, we've got the Frogs and the Longhorns this week, so Eric and I will continue to talk about that. And coming up, what's Vegas think this week about what's the buzz in Vegas? What's the buzz in Vegas about the Cardinals? What's the buzz in Vegas about the Sun Devils? Jimmy Vaccaro joins us here on the Brad Sesmatt Show on Sports 360 AZ. Sports 360 AZ on a Friday. Mark McClure from CBS 5 filling in for Brad Sesmatt here on the Brad Sesmatt Show. A monster football weekend here in the Valley of the Sun. Got a lot of high school tonight. We got the Sun Devils and the Bruins and the Wildcats and the Stanford Cardinal on Saturday and the Cardinals and the Rams and Glendale on Sunday. Let's head up to Vegas and see what they're buzzing about. Four-decade bookmaker Jimmy Vaccaro at South Point Casino and Resort. He takes us inside the numbers for all the big weekend plays. And first of all, Jimmy, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. I heard Brad is going down there to play quarterback for Arizona in the college ranks.
You know, he could definitely see over the line of scrimmage. I'm thinking he has a pretty good arm. I don't know about the wheels, though. We're going to have to maybe work on that a little bit, get him over at Athletes in Action or something like that.
All right. It was going to be a relatively for the NFL. What I mean by that is not a lot of marquee games, but naturally still the NFL, so we'll be jammed like everybody else. The highlight game with you guys naturally is like the Cardinals are on a roll. They're playing very well. A lot of people that I respect quite a bit, I have them at least one of the five best teams right now in the NFL, and they're going to play what I would consider a beleaguered St. Louis Ram team. Arizona, your six-point favorite, total's 44. That number will go up. We'll get a lot of parlay play on Arizona, a lot of teaser play. But I got to give Carson Palmer credit. I didn't think he would come back as strong as he has. Naturally, Fitzgerald is there, but defensively, you guys are playing well. You're going to be reckoned with the entire rest of the 13 weeks. Make no mistake about that.
Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino and Resort. We're talking Cardinals and Rams right now and what's going on up in Las Vegas, what everybody's talking about. So the Rams kind of muck things up. They're kind of, they keep the score down. They really get after the quarterback. They'll hit Carson Palmer. So you think the Cardinals continue their trend of scoring a lot of points in this one?
Yeah, I really do. They didn't play all that bad last week. But defensively against the Steelers, they just couldn't get anything going. I think that's going to be their trouble the entire year. At times, they look like they'll make a big play, but then they'll get inside the red zone and come away with a field goal attempt. They had numerous chances to beat the Steelers last week, but they're in trouble as far as 7-9 tops, maybe 8-8 if they get lucky. Right now, a lot of people have you guys penciled in at least 12-4, and that's a heck of a record with the NFL out of 16 games.
Oh, heck yeah. So they are a Super Bowl contender. You heard it here first from Jimmy Vaccaro. So what was it like last night in Vegas, the moans and groans, the end of that Steelers-Ravens game on CBS 5 with the missed field goals and going to overtime, and it looked like one team would win and maybe cover, and then it didn't happen. So what was that like?
The moans and groans were better than the game was on the field, I can tell you that. I mean, it was one of those just sad case scenarios where I don't know who do you, if you're a Steeler fan, you're really hollering because, you know, Tomlin, the kid can't make the field goal, then they go down 2 fourth downs and don't come away with either one there. And it's the same old thing. They give Flacco the ball with 50 seconds to go, and you see this time and time again where the defense is back up and let them make two big plays, and they're down and they kick the field goal, then actually they win the game. The game opened 2.5, went to 3, bounced back a little bit to 2.5, so there's a lot of people who led to 2.5 who got very, very lucky. But remember, this game priced last week, if Roethlisberger did not get injured, the Steelers would have been a 4-point favorite. So we're talking a 6.5-point swing with Roethlisberger out of the game. That's how important he is. He's getting right there like with the Mannings and the Bradys and the Rodgers as far as like the biggest point moves when they do play or don't play.
Interesting. 6.5 points for the big-name quarterback. Do we have a number for Palmer yet? How much does it move when he's if he was in or out of the lineup? Would you know?
Well, a couple of years ago, he would have been maybe 1.5, 2 points. And actually, now we have to look at who the backups are and stuff like that. But just a cold number, I think he moved into the 4 category, which is still pretty strong. And he was probably a 2.5 the previous 2 years, only because part of the rationale is like he obviously seemed to get hurt all the time, so that would, in a sense, drag his power rating number down. But he keeps doing what he's doing. He's going to get up there. So right now I would make him a 4-point difference, whether he played or didn't play. And that's very big anytime you talk anything over a field goal in the NFL.
Interesting. What's it looking like right now with the Sun Devils going on the road to play the Bruins? Of course, ASU got blown out last week. Are they poised for a bounce back? Is there anybody betting on the Sun Devils to do a little better this week?
No, not really. Obviously, I thought last week at least one of the Arizona teams would pull an upset. None of them was in the game. Now they're going to switch and go back to Southern Cal. Arizona State, 13.5-point underdog to UCLA. Total 57. Not a lot of movement. I would think this game will go up before it goes down. Arizona, Stanford, similar situation. Stanford, 13.5 points. Can't figure Arizona out at all. And I don't think Rich Rod can either. Stanford, too, is up and down. But both your teams in your area are 2 touchdown underdogs, and they should be in these situations.
Wow, that's very interesting right there. What game, college or pro, is getting the most buzz right now in Las Vegas?
Very simple, the Saturday games, and now watch out for the weather. Obviously, we all know about the hurricane going to hit the southeastern part. Hopefully, it misses from every last thing I've seen is like maybe this will turn north and not get in the way of a lot of football games. But Alabama, Georgia, naturally, and Notre Dame, Clemson, they're the 2 games that are drawing all the attention. Money on Alabama, and yes, we've talked about it 10,000 times this week. Alabama has not been an underdog in the previous 72 games they've played in. This is the first time since 2009, but it's only a 2-point difference there. Georgia, a favorite. They're playing well, but it seems like Mark Richt spits it out every now and then when he has the big games. That number will come down. Alabama will probably give him probably close pick. Very, very interesting game, Notre Dame and Clemson. Notre Dame, Kelly split it all together up there also, and tough place to play at Death Valley, but right now, Clemson, a 1-point favorite. Seen a little 1.5 on Clemson, but Notre Dame always draws attention. So a very good game. And as far as from the bookmaker and business standpoint, it works perfect for us. We have the Alabama-Georgia game at 12:30, and then we have the Notre Dame-Clemson game around 4:30 or 5, which is a great split for us. So people will just stay in the book all day long. So looks like an interesting weekend for the college.
That's good for business. Before we let you get out of here, I'm a Texas alum. Eric here is a TCU alum. We have the over-under at, what do we put it at, 140, 150? what do you got on the Horns and the Frogs?
We're 88.5. We opened it up 87. And remember, the last 2 years, they had a 94 and a 97 totals on their games as they played them out. So I don't know how they do it. That's like 1.5 points a minute. A lot of people have been asking the highest total I've ever seen. It's right there. I can only remember maybe once way back when Hawaii was at their running gun offense and people had to go to Hawaii. The scores were crazy. There might have been 190 that I can remember way back when, but how high can you get? 88.5, TCU and Baylor. This I can tell you. Nobody's jumping into the under so far. We'll see what happens tomorrow.
No defense played in college football right now. Well, Jimmy, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend, and we appreciate your insight. And I feel like the Bama thing, that's definitely going to be the story of the weekend. So enjoy yourself up there in Las Vegas this weekend.
All right. Stay well, my friend. Goodbye.
All right, that's Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino and Resort. He's been covering college football for many, many years, four decades. So, Eric, what did you take from what he just said?
Alabama? I never realized they hadn't been an underdog in a game. I mean, it makes sense when you think about it, but 2009.
That's crazy.
This is 2015.
What's a more jaw-dropping stat, that or the Cardinals have not had back-to-back 100-yard rushing games since 2006? They could on
Flip
Saturday.
A coin.
On Sunday.
Flip a coin. Flip a coin. Flip a yeah, coin. Probably the Cardinals. That's a long time to go without back-to-back 100-yard rushing games.
Really. And you think about what wins in football, defense and rushing the football, and apparently that has not been the case for the last 10 years.
Times, they are changing. Everything's geared towards the offense now, pro and college.
Well, I've been watching too many movies about football, not blocking and tackling. But coming up, we're going to go to the movies. Goody at the movies, Bill Gutekunst from azcentral.com, media critic. Got a couple of movies to talk about, and I tell you what, The Martian with Matt Damon looks good, along with Good Night Mommy, and you know, I might have to hit him up on a couple ones that I've recently seen. So that's coming up here on the Brad Sesmat Show on Sports 360 AZ. Big football weekend here in the Valley of the Sun. Welcome back to the Brad Sesmat Show. Mark McClune here talking football, but also, you know, this weekend might want to get out and go to a movie because there's a lot of good stuff playing. So we bring in AZ Central chief film and media critic Bill Gutekunst. Bill, how are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
I'm good. I actually saw a movie with my wife this week during the week. We actually went to an early showing, got to see The Intern. And I'm wondering your take on The Intern, because I enjoyed it. It was exactly what I needed, just a couple of good laughs.
You know, I enjoyed it too, and I didn't think I would, because it seemed ridiculous. it seemed like, I thought it was a dumb premise. You know, Robert De Niro, probably the greatest actor of the end of the 20th century, in great roles, you know, like Taxi Driver and Raging Bull and all these things, doing this light comedy where he's going to be an intern for Anne Hathaway, but it was, their chemistry was good, and he was great, and she was great. I think I like her, actually. I've talked to both of them before, a couple of times each, actually, and she's like your best friend. She's like very chatty, very nice, you know, blah, 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 talk about anything. De Niro is maybe not quite as forthcoming. De Niro is one of those things where you ask him this question, it's like 30 seconds long, you know, it's like, you know, this and this and this and this, and he says, no. And then it's like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yes. It's like, come on, man.
It's like talking to Dan Heron after a start.
I used to work in sports, and it's very similar to a clubhouse or a locker room. I mean, there was a reason we all hung around waiting to talk to Charles Barkley. I mean, he had something to say, and if he didn't, he said it anyway. A guy like Danny Ainge, you know, great player, really smart guy, but the second the locker room, you know, the second the game was over, he was dressed and gone. You know, he didn't. So some people like it, some people don't. I don't know.
Hey, it's the reason Charles Barkley's on TV right now, and you know, I guess he'll have a job for as long as he wants. Maybe you'll make a movie about him someday. But okay, let's talk about a couple of new big releases. The Martian with Matt Damon. The trailer looks amazing. How does it play out? Full length feature film.
It's really good. And you know, I always try not to watch the trailers, and I try not to know much going in. So I went in there and I thought, Ridley Scott, you know, he directed Alien, Prometheus, and all these big serious science fiction movies, Blade Runner, and all that. And Matt Damon's a great actor, and you know, I went in there and I thought, well, this is going to be like, you know, a movie like that. And it was really funny. It's like a really smart summer blockbuster or something. I mean, there's a lot of science in it. Maybe the best line of the year is like he's talking to nobody can hear him, but he's sort of taping himself in case he thinks he's going to die. And it's so that the next people who come to Mars can watch it, see what he learned and all this stuff. And he says, "I am going to science the bleep out of this," and it's really good. But and the cast is great for a guy, you know, for a one man movie stuck on Mars. There's an awful lot of good people in there.
Were you able to get in there and talk to Matt Damon a little bit about this movie? I'm wondering kind of how they shot it, how they created Mars. Were you able to kind of dig in on that and see what they were thinking there?
I did talk to Matt Damon for this, and he is great to talk to because he didn't do it this time, but I've talked to him before. He just calls him yourself. He doesn't use a publicist or anything. He just calls you up and says, "Hey, it's Matt Damon."
Wow.
But they shot it. You know, they shot it on a stage, and they had some effects and stuff. But he did it most of it. I mean, there's a little bit of the movie where he's with other people, but he did it himself. And he said that what Ridley Scott told him was he thought of it as like three movies. There's like the movie with the crew, you know, and the ship. There's the movie with NASA on the ground, and then there is his little movie, what he called his little movie. And he said he almost felt like he was making like a short film.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it looks interesting. I wonder how much this will kind of spark more interest in space, just because there's just, I don't know. I think there's a lot of science
other
here.
Other people have asked that, too. And I think that's interesting, because can a movie do that? And it's like, sure, why not? I mean, I'll tell you what, it's the kind of thing, did you ever see Apollo 13 with Tom Hanks?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
And I mean, it's in a way, it kind of felt like that to me, although obviously that's based on real life. But that thing where Jim Lovell, who's Tom Hanks' character, he's got like 30 seconds to do this unbelievably complicated trigonometry problem or something to make sure that the thing doesn't crash because their computers aren't working. And he beats the computer. And it's just, it's that kind of thing where like it makes you feel good about being a nerd, you know?
Oh, sure. And I think, nerds all over can unite and think, man, if we can go to Mars, stuff like this makes you get excited about that. Well, I tell you what, one other trailer that we had a chance to look at, and I know you saw, and I tell you what, it scared the heebie-jeebies out of me, and it's perfect for Halloween, is Good Night, Mommy. You watched the trailer,
yeah.
And I don't know if I want to keep watching. What'd you think watching the whole thing?
It's really creepy, and it's brutal. I mean, it's tough. I mean, there's these twin boys played by real twins, and they're living in Austria. This is a German film. And they're playing out in these really cool fields and stuff. And then their mom comes home from the hospital, and she's had some kind of facial reconstruction surgery. And you don't know why, and you don't know who she is or what's going on, except that, you know, through bits and pieces, you get the idea that she was like a TV presenter or something like that. And then over the course of it, the kids decide they don't think it's really her mother. They think it's somebody else. And they decide that they're going to make her admit that she is not their mother. And it's wild. And it's really tough.
Is it worth sitting through? Is the payoff worth it? Because I'm getting the goosebumps, the chill bumps here just watching the trailer and thinking about the payoff. Oh gosh, when she just turned in the trailer and looked and you saw her eye and it just freaks you out.
Well, imagine that for 90 minutes.
Oh.
There's all kinds of other weird stuff in there too. And what happens? I mean, it's really the horror is like psychological for the first half, you know, and then at the second half it kind of turns into a more traditional kind of scary movie. But it's really good. Now it is in German, so you gotta go with the subtitle.
Well, and having done film, you know, been a film critic as long as you have, a good scary movie. What is that? Do you enjoy that still? I mean, I can't ever get over
it. I love it.
Do you really?
I can't enjoy it.
I can't. I mean, the adrenaline rush, it almost releases endorphins like a good workout, but I can't get it dialed up to watch one.
I think you're right. I mean, if you're sitting there watching, like, I remember watching the first Paranormal Activity, and there was all this buzz about it and how it was going to be scary and stuff. And I was sitting there, and I was thinking, and I love scary movies, I always have, but I'm sitting there thinking, I'm getting scared, man. I'm getting tense. I'm getting nervous. And it did. It felt like that kind of thing of, like when you're, like, right, but to finish your workout, you got to do like that one last tough thing, you know. It's just sort of like that. It's like, I got to get through this, and then I'll feel better. Then it'll be cool, you know. But it's like, ah! But I love a scary movie. I just saw a great scary movie, a very good scary movie yesterday called Crimson Peak that's going to come out in a couple of weeks. It's got a really good cast. And this is the time of year, man. One of my favorite things, time of year, because you can switch through all the cable channels all through October, and somewhere you're going to find a scary movie.
All right, so you have a Halloween party at your house here later on in the month. What scary
movie are you
putting on? You got to choose one. What scary movie are you putting on?
Well, The Exorcist is the scariest movie I've ever seen and the scariest book I've ever read. But I also really like the original Halloween.
First one, not Halloween meets Nightmare on Elm Street, and there
not,
were
not Halloween
and...
27 or whatever.
Yeah.
No, the you know, I think the first Halloween, the John Carpenter movie with Jamie Lee Curtis and all those guys, I think that's one of the most influential movies of the last 40 years, because look at how many movies like that have come out. And it's still, you hear that little, that music, that dun 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 dun, dun, which John Carpenter, the director, played, by the way. He wrote that, played it.
We need a song here. Let me go to the piano and bang something out real quick.
I guess that's what they did. Well, imagine that. Just like, hey, let's just stick this in here for a while. We'll put them in there later. And it turns out to be like one of the most famous, like, you know, sounds in movies. But I love that movie. I love The Exorcist, but man, The Exorcist is really scary.
All right, Eric behind the glass here says The Shining and Red Rum. I mean, that's
The Shining.
Freak
I love
out
The Shining.
Too. You love
The
Shining.
I think The Shining is great. I do. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. But I don't know if I was going to have a party that I wanted to really scare. But that's more. That kind of gets into your skin. That's almost more disturbing than scary.
So how many of these horror movies do you have in your top five of all time?
My top five horror movies would definitely be. I think actually The Shining is probably number one. That's usually what I list. Then The Exorcist, then Halloween. I don't know. I don't know what the others are.
How about overall top five? Is there a place for scary movies in your overall top five?
The Shining is really close. It's really up there.
Interesting.
I think it would probably land in there, yeah. Because I think that's just a great movie. You know, the famous thing about that is Stephen King, who read the novel, hates the movie.
Does he really?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. He seems like he hates everything.
Well, they changed a lot of stuff, and he did not like that. So.
Interesting. Well, hey, we appreciate the insight. Good stuff here. Bill Gutekunst from azcentral.com, your chief film and media critic. Have a good weekend. Have a good movie weekend, and have a good football weekend, too, sir.
Yeah, we'll be watching a lot, I hope.
All right. Well, thanks for your time. Appreciate it. Good stuff there. And, Eric, before we get out of here, your favorite scary movie of all time?
It's got to be The Shining. That's why I had to get in your ear.
Right,
I mean,
Shining.
And that was one of... It's interesting because that movie is not old, but it's kind of old. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
What is it? Like, sometime in the 70s, I'd guess? But it's just so freaky with Jack and just the way it's put together and...
Yeah.
Can you
imagine editing that? That would mess with your head.
He just embraced the role and, like... just became like the freakiest character and maybe ever in a movie.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, I mean, this thing, Goodnight Mommy with the twins, they're trying to do it again with twins. There's something about twins and horror movies, and I got to go. I got to go take a break here after watching that one. Well, we've enjoyed it today, Eric. Thanks for chiming in, and we've had a good time here. Brad Sesmatt, we'll be back next week for the Brad Sesmatt Show. Probably hopefully talking about a Cardinal win, hopefully talking about a Arizona State and Arizona win, and keep it right here on Sports 360 AZ for Friday night Sports 360. It will be trending to get all your high school football scores.
That's right. When you're out and about, hashtag Friday night 360 AZ. We've been trending in the top five, hit number one a few weeks ago, so keep that up when you're out at the games tonight.
And be sure to tune in to CBS 5 for your CBS 5 game of the week tonight.
Of course.
At 10 o'clock. It should be a fun weekend, and glad to kick things off here on the Brad Sesmatt Show. We'll see you soon. So long for now. Have a good weekend.